When you are in a crisis situation, when you are a leader, share what you know, share what you don't know yet, and share what you're going to do to find out. Show up, be there, listen, and make decisions that reflect the values and priorities of your team, your organization, and your company. Crisis communication. Speaking plainly, building trust. Crisis part 2. Maybe you experienced a crisis situation as well. All of a sudden, often completely out of the blue, a sudden crisis hits. And you are the responsible leader. Maybe you lead a group, a department, a team, a country, or an entire company. And you suddenly face a crisis. Your primary concerns may include, first and foremost, safety and well-being. You may worry about ensuring the physical and emotional safety of everyone affected by the crisis. For example, the horrible tsunami that hit Thailand and other Asian countries in December 2004. My company and my people in the company at the time lost a wonderful general manager, a wonderful great woman and a great leader. Or for example, the recent horrible wildfires in LA, creating devastating damage to people, properties, and lives. Or you face a situation of uncertainty and unclarity, where you need to address confusion and you need to provide clear guidance in the face of rapidly evolving information. Things change on an hourly, maybe minutely basis, and you lead. Or you need to maintain trust, because you want to prevent panic and maintain credibility and confidence in leadership decisions. Let me share an own example of my own. An example I experienced when I was a young leader more than 25 years ago. 25 years ago, exactly 25 years ago. It's the year 2000. The company that was my first, where I was employed as a manager and as a leader, and I'm grateful I was. I envy the company and I'm still warmly connected to it today. It had a period of rapid growth for a couple of years under a CEO who really led us to new heights. Well done in that phase. But then all of a sudden, for many reasons, we had a real share price crisis. Because within 48 hours, the value of our company lost more than half. Our share price collapsed from round about $115 to $55 or even less. It was a shock and it was an earthquake. And one of the important things about the company that I used to serve in and work for at the time is that about 25% of the global share capital of this company belongs to employees, and 99% of all employees are share owners. So everyone in my team, and I was leading about 70 people at the time, I was young, I was in my early 30s, were panicking. I remember that morning when I get into the office and I look into double P's in all eyes. Panic, panic, right? And what I've done at the time without having been educated, without having learned about it, I just intuitively did what I think was right. So on the morning of day two, when the share had lost more than half of its value and when I saw the panic in the eyes of my team, I just called them together. And I said, look, guys, here is the situation, here is what happened, and here is my speculation on why it happened. And I need more information, I need a bit more time to really understand exactly what happened and how many investors lost trust in our company and why they sold our shares in panic mode. I need to better understand this, but I know two things for sure. And now it's also no longer the employee Stefan talking. Now it's Stefan talking as a human. And I looked at everyone. And we were still before Euro time. That's how long ago it was. We were still in Deutschmark time. So I said, look, guys, this is what I think has happened. And I understand your uncertainty. I'm a shareholder myself. So I'm nervous myself. But, you know, one good thing about shares is if you have time, you cannot only avoid damage. You can make a gain on them if you're not forced to sell now. So here is Stefan talking. If you have 100 Deutschmark spare and you don't know what to do with it, then I recommend buy our own company's share now. Because I'm sure in latest 5 years, you will double this investment. And I was glad in hindsight then, it just took us 3 years to double this investment. So whoever bought on that very morning or in the week after made a great deal. But on that very morning, everyone was panicking, right? The second thing I learned is when just a few days later, our CEO, who was the first in our more than 160 years of company history, who was fired, who was asked to leave, was replaced by someone else. The gentleman's name is A.G. Leffley. And he came to Frankfurt, to our Schwalbach office, where I was working at the time. And I'll never forget how he came in and what he said. When he came in, he entered our auditorium, a room with 300 seats, probably 700 people in the room at the time. And there was a carpet on the floor. You could still hear a pin fall on the carpet. That's how tense the situation was, and that's how uncertain we all felt. And AG came in and said, look guys, my name is AG, I'm the new CEO, and I'm here to talk with you. If you think that already now, a day or two after I started, I know what we need to do in order to turn this company around again, I have to disappoint you. I don't know yet. And if you think I can give you advice what you need to do here in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland to turn your business around, I have to disappoint you a second time. I don't know yet, but I do know two things. I know about my 10 beliefs. And then he shared his 10 leadership principles, one after the other, with one short experience to illustrate his belief. Mind-blowing, absolute mind-blowing leadership work from our new CEO at the time. And the second thing he said is, look, I know you and I believe in you and we together, we will fix this. I don't know yet how, but I'm sure that, yes, that we will fix this and that we will turn it around. And this is what I vividly remember when I think about crisis communication, which is the title of today's podcast. Speaking plainly, building trust. This is just one of the many lessons I learned and maybe a good start into the episode today. So based on this experience, I would like to share three thoughts with you. And as always, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts, to hear your pushback, your builds, your agreement, your disagreement. So please contact me, contact us so that you can join the ever-growing LightWolf community who has the intent to create a well-led world. Join us. Let's widen the exchange. Let's widen the movement. So three ideas that I would like to share with you. First, transparency, honesty, and empathy. First, on the what to do. When you are in a crisis situation, when you are a leader of a group of three, a team of 30, a country of 300, or a company of 300,000, doesn't matter. Whatever your leadership role is, share what you know. Share what you don't know yet, and share what you're going to do to find out, and then tell them. Acknowledge the seriousness of the situation. I acknowledged at the time when I had my team in front of me, I acknowledged the seriousness. If you are a shareholder, like 99% of all employees in this company were and still are, you worry. This is serious. For many people, this might be their retirement income, their pension income that they are saving for when they are young and working. And all of a sudden, that was at risk because more than half of it was gone overnight, right? This is not just a little detail. This was serious. And I acknowledged that it was serious. And I recommend you also show compassion. Compassion for those affected. Let them feel your feeling with them. Explain why it matters. People value honesty and people value empathy, particularly in moments of crisis. Being open builds trust, even if the news is bad news, and even if the news is tough to deliver. If you want to regain trust, then explain with honesty what happens, why it matters, and communicate with empathy, even if it's tough news. And if you ask yourself, well, how to say it, then my suggestion would be, use language that is calm, human, and relatable. Because what people need now is not only information. I was not able to tell them by when we would regain the lost share value. I wasn't. Their key need now was to relate, to connect as a human. Yeah? For example, you could say things like in a crisis, I understand this is a challenging time for all of us. And I want to be upfront about what we are facing. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm not going to exaggerate either. I want to be honest in describing my perception of the situation we are facing together now. Yeah? So that could be one way how you talk. My second advice on crisis communication is communicate early and often. Don't wait until you can explain every detail. Communicate early and communicate often. In crisis times, it's more important than ever to communicate often, rather over than under communicate. What can you do in terms of communicating early and often? Share updates regularly, even if there is not much to report, even if there is no news to report at all. Share updates regularly. Why? Because consistent and frequent communication helps reduce people's uncertainty. And that's the key to fight right now. It's an emotion. It's a feeling of uncertainty. Don't underestimate this. And if you're one of those more rational thinkers, more rational leaders who think, well, for me, it's only necessary to talk if there is new information. Well, maybe, but that's not the point. Your people do not just always need new information. They need to know where you are frequently. They need frequent updates, even if there is no new information at all. So communicate often and early. And even if there is nothing new to report. Why does this matter? Silence breeds rumors. Silence breeds fear. I could not agree more with Paul Watzlawick, great philosopher and much more, who once said, quote, "You cannot not communicate," unquote. If you do not communicate, then people interpret whatever they want into the silence. So silence breeds rumors and fear. And frequent updates reassure people that you are actively managing the situation, even if repeatedly there is no news. And then how to say it? Set expectations for when they will hear from you again. For instance, I will provide an update every 7 days. Or I'll provide an update every second day, if that's what's right in the situation. Even if it's just to confirm that there is no new information. So that's what you could consider when you are a leader in crisis and you ask yourself, what do I do and how do I do it in terms of communicating often and frequently and early? And three, provide clear actions and focus on solutions. What to do? Outline the immediate steps that people need to take and what leadership is doing to address the crisis. Avoid unnecessary jargon. Avoid words that people need to interpret and softness in your language. And also avoid overloading people with too much information. Give them the information they need, no less but no more, and give it to them in a way that they understand with clarity. Why does this matter, that you speak clearly and in a way that's unmistakable? It's so important that people, particularly in a crisis, get guidance, that they get hope, that they get belief. Just like AG created belief in us, in the entire company, in 2000 when we had this share price crisis. It gives clear directions, it prevents chaos, and it ensures that everyone is aligned, even if the direction isn't precisely defined yet. And some ideas on how to communicate: be concise, set focus on what's within your own control and within your influence. Don't speculate about things you cannot control or influence. For example, here is what we need everyone to do. Prioritize safety, follow these three steps, 1, 2, 3, and direct any urgent questions to our crisis team. And if you just need to exchange and you just need to download an emotion, address someone in the team around you, we will help each other. So, overall, attitude to display: be present and lead by example. That's the best thing you can do in terms of crisis communication, so that people understand, get orientation, they get motivation, and they get connectedness and relation with your team. Your visibility, your calm demeanor, your decisive action inspires confidence in others and in yourself. Show up, be there, listen, and make decisions that reflect the values and priorities of your team, your organization, and your company. And communicate. Say what you know, say what you don't know, and say until you will find out, and then tell them. So that's my advice on crisis communication. I hope something in this was useful and useful for your time and worth your time to reflect. If you would like to expand on any of these tips, on any of those leadership challenges and questions we are elaborating here in the Lightwolf podcast, how they apply to your team, to your own company, if you want to talk, book a personal call with me, a direct link here in the show notes. And do you like what you hear here in the Lightwolf podcast? If yes, then please subscribe to the Lightwolf podcast and welcome to the Lightwolf community. I can't wait to hear your view and your questions. Thank you and speak soon.